It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Well, for starters, the rumors that I just decided to take Friday off and make a long weekend of it are entirely untrue. Oh, my God. So, explanations are in order. I got ready to do the program on Friday. And at some point in time, apparently, an update had come through on the production machine. And, gosh, thanks, Microsoft. Thank you so very much for putting through an update that completely wiped out every setting I had. It wiped out my virtual cart deck. It wiped out my my stream settings, all the parameters for me to send up to the White Rose server and the HeadOn.live server. Just wiped it all out. Goodbye. Bye. Yeah. No. Right, if you get work. I mean, it wiped out my Skype settings so that now the stupid sound effects are back. Bloop, bloop, bloop. And it has been stressful. Notification sounds. No, go away. Okay, so hopefully no more of that noise. Oh, hi, I'm Robin. It's, Horian Monday on the horn, the 22nd day of April, 22nd, the 18th day of April, 2022. Gotta get that part right. And, yeah, hopefully we'll, I don't know what's going on here. Weird things have been happening with the computer for a while. She has been a fabulous machine, a fab machine. And it may be, maybe after these years, it's time for her to be, like, updated, or I don't know. I just don't know. But anyway, it was Easter weekend. I hope those of you who celebrate Easter had a good Easter. I hope if we have any, well, I hope Passover was good. And I hope Ramadan was Ramadandy. I guess it happens about every 33 years. Oh, the boy's singing while he cooks. About every 33 years, Passover, Ramadan, and Easter all line up, and this was that year. Okay, thanks. I will read that. Computer help. What to do when a Windows update wipes? Cry? Scream? Carry on? Yeah, I know. All of the above. Anyway, it was a very quiet and low-key day yesterday here. And it is, once again, freaking cold outside. It's gray. And I don't know if this has something to do with my transition or just how I... But, gray, miserable weather was hard on me before. I think I really am sensitive to light and seasonal stuff, and but when the cold, gray, crappy, wet stuff comes along in mid-April, oh, I just felt like I'd been poleaxed today. Just grim and down, and yeah, I know, Robin Kincaid, Little Ray of Sunshine, that's me. But see, I opened my weather app, and the icon for tomorrow is a snowflake. Ah! Yuck. And I think the overnight low tomorrow is going to be like 29. Please let it be spring. The damn red buds, the dogwoods, and all, they're all blooming. They don't like the 20. The peepers will freeze. Damn it. I'll be okay. I'm just being a little whiny little biatch, and that's all. Yeah. Thank you. Scott in San Diego letting me know 5x5 on the Head On Live link and on the Horn app via TuneIn on the Apple TV box. For a while there, listening for a faint signal, I felt like a 1960s Eastern European shut-in straining to hear Radio Free Europe on Broadway. Do you remember? I know Scott does. The old PSA for Radio Free Europe. And they used, and there was this Eastern European DJ voice who says, "And now we play on Broadway. On Broadway." No singing. By God. Oh, no, no singing. Good Lord, the fundraising hole is somewhere near Mars. But every program here at the Horn, wait a minute, what? Billable Rick says, your absence on April 15th, tell us the truth. You really took the day off on Friday to prepare your tax return. Damn tax lawyers all think alike. I guess this is, I don't know, Billable, is this your busy season? I don't know. Get a 1.75 of Mexican gasoline and trusty pencil and eraser and get after it. But every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So consequently, we have thanks to send out for, goodness me, today, the 18th, we also for the 17th, the 16th, and yes, Friday, the 15th. So that means that we say thank you in total to our dear friend in the South Pacific, who shall remain nameless, and thank you to Grace, and thank you to our dear friend Joy in Ann Arbor, where it's snowing on her, too. Thank you to Charlene in Rogues Island. Thank you to Gary, labor man. Thank you so much. Thank you to Reinhard on the Virginia coast. Thank you, Timothy, and thank you, Mark. Thanks as well to Robert and Nagla. Thank you. Thank you to Libby. Thank you to, and so that takes us all the way to, back to the 14th. Thank you all for being partial sponsors of the program. And now the ugly and scary part. The fundraising goal for today is, I'm not going to include Friday because Friday wasn't a program, but the fundraising goal for today is at a minimum $1,430. So that means today, not Friday, Thursday, so today and Thursday, and Wednesday, and Tuesday, and oh my God, we've got an almost entirely unfunded last week of programming. Yeah, that's a little frightening. So hopefully we will take some of that down. I sure hope so. Because that's what makes for a, well, that's what makes this whole idea of month-to-month liberal independent broadcasting so damn stressful. But anyway, thank heavens. Thank you for all your help, Brother Deacon, getting this sucker back up and running. And I'm trying to look into the rest of the week here as far as any potential interruptions of the program. I don't see any right off the top of my head, except for the fact that I know I have to make a road trip this Friday, and I will try to get out of here early enough that I can turn around and get back in time for air. But I'm really happy. I'm excited. Enough people have contributed to my campaign that our signs will be ready on Friday. And I have to go down to Charleston to pick those up, and then the weekend I will spend driving the highways and byways of my district. And putting out signs, and they are going to be the most eye-catching, lovely signs in this district. And perhaps, I don't know, maybe anywhere in the state. So that is exciting. And hopefully, I don't know, I'd love to be able to have some more made. But we'll try to get by on what we have. Now, where to begin with this Moran Monday? Ron in Raleigh points out a perfect day for the IDF thugs to attack the Al-Aqsa Mosque and abuse Muslims on one of their high holy days and let settlers run roughshod in the third most important shrine in Islam. Not a peep from the Biden administration. Oh, well. Yep. Oh, it's also apparently a perfect day for Mother Russia to finally begin its long-awaited heavy full-scale invasion of eastern Ukraine, and the news out of that area is not Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is begging the West, scare quotes, to please impose more sanctions, because not only is the attack on in the east of Ukraine, there was a terror attack on Lviv, which is only about 50 miles from the Polish border. He said, this is nothing but deliberate terror, mortars, artillery against ordinary residential neighborhoods, against ordinary civilians. And said that in the southern part of Ukraine, Russian troops are engaging in torture and kidnappings. He added, everyone in Europe and America already sees Russia openly using energy to destabilize Western societies. All of this requires greater speed from Western countries in preparing a new powerful package of sanctions. Meanwhile, Vladdy Daddy is declaring, sanctions have not worked on Mother Russia. Well, they're not working. And you know, he's sort of, well, he's the kind of megalomaniacal socio-psychopath who thinks of himself as Russia and thinks little to nothing at all about, ordinary folks trying to lead their day-to-day lives, upon whom this is having a devastating effect. So, Jesus. But for more in Monday, a couple of things. One, just as sort of, and you know, we can talk more about Ukraine, but it's beginning to have the flavor of talking about, oh, gun violence in the United States. Although, to be fair, the Biden administration is trying to do something and dragging the occasional reluctant Republican along with them. It's like climbing uphill with your foot in the bucket, you know, when you're trying to get Republicans to do the right thing. It's not exactly nothing. Oh, speaking of gun violence, my heart goes out to the people of Pittsburgh. The NRA roulette wheel of death stopped there this weekend with a shooting in Pittsburgh. Damn it. It is wearying. It is. Oh, and your coffee is on the way to you. I just got a note from Steve. Kat, your Kat in Ohio, your coffee is winging its way toward you. So I certainly hope you enjoy that. Let us know. By the way, Jeremy in Vermont says, I've recently taken to using an RTL SDR, software-defined radio receive, and I've always known how much Christian radio was up and down the AM dial in all bands you can imagine, but I'm still taken aback as to how much is out there 24/7 talking about all sorts of crazy shit. And it is that. And speaking of, you know, crazy religious shit, this one won't keep until prayer meeting Wednesday. So we'll use it for Morion Monday here in a little bit. But got some of that. We'll get there. Over the weekend, because I have for a couple of hours every day, I just sort of have to be immobile because of ongoing therapy that I have to do related to my surgery 23 weeks ago tomorrow. And so there's nothing much to do except sort of lay around. And when she lays around the house, she really lays around the house. Oh, God, it's going to be one of those, isn't it? But anyway, I look for stuff to watch. And I just, my better judgment yesterday told me not to, but I did it anyway. And so I watched the new HBO Bill Maher special. It's called Hashtag Adulting. And upon watching it, I immediately thought, you know, they would have been better off titling this Bill Maher, Get Off My Lawn. Or maybe Bill Maher yelling at clouds. Because dude's just kind of disconnected. And he's very, very cranky. He's upset about things that upset him. And it was kind of weird because, and don't watch it. I mean, this is not just trying to tease you into watching it. It's not that at all. It was... Well, in a way, it was kind of sad. Because even the audience, there were no belly laughs. There were no, ha ha, you know, sustained auditorium-wide hilarity. It just wasn't there. You know, some polite chuckles and things like that. But I knew what I was in for when I started it, and he comes out, and this is really the thrust of this little critique. You know, lucky me, he didn't go full Dave Chappelle. So we got that going for us. But he did the thing in Florida, and I don't know how long ago it was, but it was fairly current. And the first thing he went into upon walking out on stage was to start ranting about masks. Now, we know the numbers are on the way back up. But somebody was wearing a mask in the auditorium in Florida, and he started gooning on the person. We've got a vaccine. Aren't you vaccinated? Take your mask off. Live a little bit. And the first thing that came to mind for me was that thing that Sister Carol Baker said a while back. Yeah, I'm vaccinated and I'm still wearing a mask. I've also had my tetanus shot, and I don't run around just stomping on rusty nails. Well, that's true enough, Steve in New York. There were no belly laughs because he's not funny or smart or clever. He's just cranky. And, yeah. Don't bother. But let's see. He hates people with tattoos. He hates tattoos. I was hoping this trend was going to go away, but it just seems to be getting worse. Again, comedy is funny when it punches up. Mostly it's just mean when it kicks down. And with regard to tats, even before I got any, I wasn't hostile to people who had them because I recognized that they were personal statements, and that it was really nothing for me to comment on. I mean, he sounded so old, cranky. I just don't get these tattoos, man. Apparently, the only thing he cares for is smoking dope. And far be it for me to criticize somebody for doing that. But it just sort of reinforced for me the truism that I've talked about for years, namely that libertarians are pretty much just Republicans who want to be able to smoke dope. And, of course, he famously claims to be libertarian-ish. And there's just no there there. Apparently, I've got to it a little bit late because Matt in San Francisco says, subject line, adulting. I turned it on and fell asleep about 10 minutes in. Truth be known, I dozed a little myself. I don't feel so bad about the number of people who tell me that they listen to this program to fall asleep. Just as long as you're not behind the wheel. Scott in San Diego says, I saw it. He used to be funnier. On the other hand, his Friday real-time show is getting better. During the adulting stand-up show, I think he stopped using pot. He should start back up. Oh, and oh my God, there's the 1960s Radio Free Europe PSA. This is, thank you. Thank you, Scott. Let's see, this will be fun. Guy coming up out of the subway. City sounds.
Peter Savoy escaped from Hungary when he was 12. Now he's working for the people he left behind. He brings young Hungarians closer to the world their government censors. Information with a beat.
With a beat.
Folytatva a délutáni rendezvú műsorát, következőnek a Drifters együttes és On Broadway.
And they cut to some footage of
millions of East
empty
Europeans
streets
depend
in
on people like Peter
Hungary
for uncensored news and music. Half of them are under 30. To find out what's happening, they switch on Radio Free Europe, the in sound from outside. For facts about RFE and East Europe, write Radio Free Europe, Box 1969, Mount Vernon, New York.
Wow. Advertising contributed for the public good. Thanks, Scott. That's an interesting jumping off point. So, unless cranky old dude comedy is your jam, don't bother. Don't bother. Don't bother with Bill Maher. At least not this. Steve in New York suggests Scott in San Diego's new nickname, the Horns Marconi. Scott Marconi. Marconi in San Diego. Are we reaching? Yeah. So we had that. But the Moran Monday thing that I think happened all weekend long happened when I went over to my Twitter feed one day and saw the promo. And I have to tell you, I showed it to Annette, and she was like, "This is a joke, right?" No. This is real. And she steadfastly refused to believe me. Because it was almost too weird. Because it was. Tuckio Rose has apparently a new documentary coming out over on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. And the title to this dreck is The End of Men. I dare say if you haven't already viewed it, considering that Matt in San Francisco is the Horn's Den mother, I don't want to just make this my POV, but I'm thinking, well, if you can find it and view it real quick, Matt. I need to know if this gets any klaxons clanging or sirens howling or lights flashing. Oh, let's see. Yeah. Yeah, Richard Strauss's Also Sprach Zarathustra. Bare-chested, burly, manly men doing things like shooting machine guns at bottles and grabbing the udders of a cow and throwing each other around the room and you know, just good-natured brawling because men. And then the camera focuses on a dark pool of what I presume to be water with some reflected light in the background.
In the current year, the cycle continues.
And there's a guy standing there. It looks like he's standing in front of, naked in front of an infrared heater, blocking his junk, making his legs all orange, with his arms outstretched like the Da Vinci drawing, you know, with the... Yeah. And the strategic placement of the camera, he looks upward as whatever it is lighting up his junk. And then it edits away to another sweaty man heaving around on a truck tire. I don't even, Stephen, New York, I don't even know if this is viewable in Florida. Steve noting, as they cannot say in Florida, gay, 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 gay. I refuse, says Ron in Raleigh. I will not be tanning my junk. Being black has its advantages. Well, see, that's the other thing, Ron. In this montage, there is nobody darker than a fucking Cheerio, okay? I mean, it's very white. Not very white, very white.
Once a society collapses, then you're in hard times. Well, hard iron sharpens iron, as they say.
Yeah, hard iron sharpens iron. Why did they choose the guy with the something less than masculine accent to... I don't know. But Dude Bro here has a very well-coiffed little kind of crew cut thing going on, and he's wearing black leather gloves, and he's swinging an axe at something. Hard times make hard men. Usually you have to go over to Pornhub or X-Hamster to watch this kind of thing.
So society collapses, then you're in hard times. Well, hard iron sharpens iron, as they say, and those hard times inevitably...
And then it cuts. I know, we're talking about video on the radio, dancing about architecture, sure. But then it shows another guy, and I guess he's sitting in a, I don't know, a cattle feeding trough or something full of water, and he begins to submerge his entire body, and then he's like sinking his head beneath the water, and... Oh, Tucker. Oh, Tucky O'Rose.
Produce men who are tough, men who are resourceful, men who...
Men who can hold their breath underwater. I guess. And then a silhouetted sort of Meet the Beatles kind of shot of a guy, I think he's drinking an iced tea glass full of raw eggs. Whatever.
Are strong enough to survive. And then they go on to reestablish order, and so the cycle begins again.
And now it's another guy backlit in front of some sort of pinkish lights. And Tucker Carlson Originals presents... The End of Men. Okay, you tell me. If you view this thing, you tell me if at some point in time you don't just get the idea that maybe Tucky O'Rose... Maybe the ringtone on his alarm clock is It's Raining Men or something. I don't. Wow. No, Ron. He did not say hard men make men hard. But you can be forgiven for thinking that if you actually see the video that goes with it. I think Annette still thinks this is a gag. That's probably not the best word. No, hard iron makes iron hard. Hard iron makes iron hard. Yes. Oh, my God. Scott in San Diego says, End of Men promo. I'll need to see it for myself. From the way you describe it, I can't tell if it's the before or after visual. Oh, and which end? This is unironic, and it's on a par with the you've got to go vote ad that ran over in Mother Russia, where if you do not go and vote for Vladimir Putin, you will have to adopt a gay child and marry a foster child if you cannot find him boyfriend in new gender fluid free gender Mother Russia. Matt in San Francisco says, Tucker certainly uses the word hard more than is needed. Looks like they hired someone from Falcon Studios. Yeah. And Scott asks, with that music, did the promo include apes throwing sticks into the air? Well, maybe some, like, pinkish-hued... Hairless apes, yeah. It's Oh, my God, Robinson, says Ralphs, like the Tesla penis charging station. How do they let this out of, I mean, what kind of editorial control does Tucky O. Rose actually have over there? Somebody at Fox has got to be embarrassed by this. I mean, for as notoriously anti-gay as Fox is, and anti-everything else under the rainbow, there's got to be somebody among the suits who's like, you really think we should let him put this one out? Because I think this means that Tucker needs a little counseling.
The end of men.
It's another one of his propaganda efforts. No, not much any different from say. His pro-Putin stuff. And frankly, all of this aligns with a sort of Putinical mindset. Because this is a product of viewing the world as a sharply defined rich contrast, black and white, viewpoint. There are no shades of gray. And like I said, there are no black guys in this video either. I'm thinking maybe the reason for that is that had they tried, maybe they tried to hire a couple of black guys and they're like, no, I think I'll pass on this one. This is, and on Twitter, Kevin Cruz, the historian who routinely eats right-wingers for breakfast, just happened to mention that this is strikingly similar to the God Squad powerlifting video promo that came out of The Righteous Gemstones, you know, the comedy over on HBO. In which a bunch of buff muscle men display their godly musculature and do bench presses for Jesus, I guess. But there is, as hilarious as the video for this is. This all works in conjunction with, people like Jordan Peterson, known in certain circles as Lobster Daddy. The End of Men, Matt in San Francisco, says maybe the suits at Fox were too busy with the cocaine-fueled sex orgies to notice. I'm guessing that was what happened after at the rap party after, you know, they shot this. But they have created this theory that men are no longer allowed to be manly and studly. All I can tell you is I'm glad I got out while I could. I would not want to be associated with anything. Oh, Jesus Christ. This is... But it has its dirty downside. Its dirty downside can be found in Florida and Alabama and Arkansas. It can be found in Mother Russia. It can be found in the right-wing cesspit dark, spidery, and slimy corners of the internet where the little right-wing incels huddle and talk about femoids. If you don't know, that's the word that incels use to describe women. They don't say women. They don't say girls. They don't say ladies. They don't even say female. They say femoids. And it's all part and parcel of this whiny, pissy complaint that somehow or another men aren't allowed to be manly anymore, which is just silly and stupid. You know, this is the same right-wingers who complain that we have a girly man military now because people other than cis, het, binary men are allowed to do the fighting and the killing and the bleeding and the... Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Ron and Raleigh touching on something that, the same thing that Scott in San Diego mentioned. Which end are we talking about? They could have hired QAnon, Sammy Davis Jr., Enrique Tarrio. Sounds like his kind of party. And I think it's entirely lost on them just how hilarious they are. Well, it's a good question. Todd in South Carolina, Stan asking, so are pink dildos the same as sticks when it comes to Kubrick's work? Or, yeah, the only thing missing. Well, no, I mean, the guy standing there getting his junk toasted was sort of like a monolith. I mean, but that's the other part of it. And again, unironic, not kidding. They are now pitching, really, and for true, Tucker Carlson wants men to tan their testicles. And writing unironically at Vanity Fair, they note that Tucker Carlson wants men to be open-minded about shining a bright red laser on their groins. Yeah, the End of Men pitches testicle tanning as some sort of sociocultural solution. Solution to the sissification of manhood. You know, what Vladdy Daddy refers to as gender freedom. And, of course, you know, you heard in the promo there the reference to how these hard men will reestablish order, as if order was somehow in short supply right now. Brother Deacon Asa pointing out Rubber Tucky is veering dangerously close to working Jordan Peterson's corner. He'd best be careful. Yes, Ron and Raleigh, and a cowbell you get for this. Wouldn't that be a manolith? Lith mean, yeah. And, of course, lith meaning stone. A man-o-stone? Pretty hard. With an obligatory Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy reference on real men, Lee notes, in those days, spirits were brave, the stakes were high, men were real men, women were real women, and small furry creatures from Alpha Centauri were real small furry creatures from Alpha Centauri. And that reestablishing order thing is geared literally at the same thing that Putin is geared at. And one of these days, and I'm going to feel like a real prophet when they get around to doing this, people will start noticing the fact, as we've said here, that, you know, Governor Hee-Haw Meemaw in Alabama and Greg Asbot in Texas have more in common with Vladimir Putin than they do with, say, Kathy Hochul in New York, Gavin Newsom in California, or Jay Inslee in Washington, or Gretchen Whitmer in Michigan. And that really should be troubling, shouldn't it? But somehow or another, it's not. So, you know, it's not just Tucker Carlson. The insurrectionist senator from Missouri, Josh Hawley, recently said, "Men are in crisis. Democrats hate this country and don't believe in manhood." So, and it manifests itself in different ways. Like resistance to the reauthorization of the Violence Against Women Act. All of these godforsaken anti-abortion laws. I mean, consider, if you will, and I hope you will, something that was pointed out by, Matt in San Francisco says, testicles. So we've gone from eating babies to banning trans girls from sports to tanning testicles? And gay folk and trans people are the problem? Oh, for fuck's sake. I know. Oh, Matt. This is only the tip of the iceberg. Tucky interviews a fitness professional by the name of Andrew McGovern, who says, "If you want to optimize and take it to another level, expose yourself to red light therapy. It's testicle tanning, but it's also full-body red light therapy, which has a massive amount of benefits. And there's so much data out there that isn't being picked up or covered." And just by the way, no, there isn't. But, you know, I think, I mean, something just kind of tells me that when it comes to Republicans, they've never had much of a problem with red light therapy to begin with. I mean, every time wherever the Republican National Convention goes, all the sex workers, boys, girls, non-binaries, what have you, converge on that place because there's simply not going to be enough hookers to satisfy all the Republican kink. You know, because they're away from home, they're away from their Baptist churches and the like. And that means that they're able to let their freak flag fly. So red light therapy for Republicans isn't exactly something new. But I can't think that's healthy. Not that I'll ever be able to find out now. On the other hand, Carlson, listening to Andrew McGovern, said, "So obviously half the viewers are now like, what, testicle tanning? That's crazy. But my view is, okay, testosterone levels have crashed and nobody says anything about it. That's crazy. So why is it crazy to seek solutions?" And McGovern says, "It's not crazy to seek solutions." And so a new, has entered the language. Bromeopathy, you know, homeopathy, bromeopathy. And it was bad enough that even Kid Rock, that paragon of masculinity, told the Tucky O'Rose, "No, I don't think so. Dude, stop. Testicle tanning? Come on. I haven't heard anything like that in a long time, said Kid Rock. And Tucky said, open your mind, Bobby. Don't you think at this point, when so many of the therapies, the paths they've told us to take, have turned out to be dead ends that really hurt people, why wouldn't open-minded people seek new solutions? And when Kid Rock says, some days you just want to stop the planet and let me off. You know, so I would like to think that this is a case of Tucker Carlson and his white fragility finally, his white male fragility finally having jumped the shark. But something tells me that no. It's not the end of men, nor is it the end of this fascistic stupidity. And, of course, the hilarity of all of this is that if it is true that testosterone levels in cis men are declining, it's probably because of environmental factors. I don't think wild-eyed feminists are quietly juicing Tucker's cornflakes with estrogen. He'd be a better person by now if they had. Sorry. No, we do know that the ongoing poisoning of this planet does have repercussions that include things like that. Phytoestrogenic compounds, certain feminizing compounds in chemical pollution. I mean, we see it in cis children with things like precocious puberty. But no, Tucky O'Rose is never going to mention something like that, because Tucky O'Rose can't get enough pollution in the world to suit him. He's one of those people for whom lots of pollution means lots of increases in his portfolio value. Matt in San Francisco says Marvelline's in for a shock when she stumbles on Emery in his Barca lounger with his legs up over his head, aiming a red flashlight at his junk.
Don't worry. I was watching Tucker Carlson and he said I needed to do it.
Oh, Emery, I don't know if that's safe.
Well, just you wait and see, girlie. It'll be like when we were first married.
On second thought, let's not go to Camelot. 'Tis a silly place. It keeps popping into my head lately. But that ain't all. Oh, no, that ain't all. Another little piece of video made it into the zeitgeist over the weekend. And it's a real dandy. It happened on an airplane, an airliner, packed to the gills. If you watch the video, you'll find that, you know, only one person has a mask on. But a group of folks brought their git fiddles with them. And I guess when the aircraft was at cruising altitude, they broke out their guitars and, in their own description, started praising Jesus at 30,000 feet. I wish I was kidding. I don't know what I would have done if I'd been on this flight.
You are worthy.
Yeah, that's enough of that. So you've just spent a lot of money on an airplane ticket to get from point A to point B. Air travel is enough of a pain in the tuchus as it is. It's crowded, it's cramped, it's unpleasant, it's uncomfortable. And mostly you just want to put on your noise-canceling headphones and for the kid in the seat behind you to stop kicking you in the kidneys. And this happens. They turn out the seatbelt light, and next thing you know, some God-botherers are in the aisle singing about how worthy of being praised is their special friend. Look, like I said, this was not going to keep until prayer meeting Wednesday. Pray and pray day by day, live on hay, there'll be pie in the sky when you die, whatever. But this is distinctly and directly the opposite of what Yeshua the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and semi-literate itinerant rabbi who wore a dress every day of his life told people to do. And I love the fact that in the video, whoever's shooting it at one point looks out the window at the wing, and the first thing I thought of was William Shatner in that iconic Twilight Zone episode where he looks out and sees the gremlin sitting there peeling pieces of the plane off. I halfway expected to see, only, you know, it'd be a Christian out on the wing with a damn guitar. Worshipping Jesus, 30,000 feet in the air. Where do they get off? Do they think this is entertaining for other people? This is nothing if not annoying. Probably a safety hazard, too. I know, I'm being cranky. God, maybe I'm being as cranky as Bill Maher. I don't know. Flying Jesus, Matt in San Francisco, says, I would have done my best to help them meet Jesus. And there's one poor dude who's just sort of barely in the frame. And he's got this look on his face like, rapture him, Jesus! Just let me get to where I'm going without... I mean, this is usually how disaster movies begin. Wasn't there something like this in the first Airport movie? And they're all, you know, they're all a bunch of, like, you know, young Jesus kids or whatever, with no regard whatsoever for the wishes or thoughts or of, you know, anybody else on the plane. But things like this have a way of taking on a life of their own. And so it is with this clip. Ah, it was Airplane. Okay, thank you. Randy Radar says it was Airplane that had singing it. Okay. But, like I said, these things take on a life of their own. And so it was that, well, all kinds of people were tweeting about this over the weekend. I love the fact that the video includes a moment where the camera focuses on the sign that says exit. And among the people who saw this was Ilhan Omar. And she said, I think my family and I should have a prayer session next time I'm on a plane. How do you think it'll end? You know, her being all Muslim and stuff. Well, it would end with the air marshal coming up and probably arresting them all. And, you know, we have a right to worship as we see fit within reason. You do not have a right and this is a broader discussion to be had. We do not have a right to force our religious beliefs on other people. And that, of course, is part and parcel of so much of what's going on in this country. Yeah, that's true. I do remember that. Ron and Raleigh says, I sent you a link to a story about people breaking into praise songs at the drop of a hat, which they believe will bring the country the Lord. I would Will Smith their asses. And, yeah, the temptation, right. But these entitled, privileged religionists feel like they can foist their beliefs on the rest of us anytime and anywhere. And that's why you have the tsunami of anti-abortion laws sweeping this country. It's why you have the Don't Say Gay bill in Florida that also got passed in Alabama, because Alabama hates to be last. Well, not really. I mean, education, childhood development, infant mortality, postpartum mentality, or mortality. Yeah, that they're okay with being last in. But they hate being the last to hate. And so every one of these issues is actually an attempt by the right-wing religion industry to compel the rest of us to believe the evil, hateful garbage that they believe. And we don't do a good enough job of pointing that out and pushing back. Yeah, I had the same thought, Matt, in San Francisco when I saw the little dude with his guitar. Matt says, the scene in Animal House where John Belushi smashes the guy's guitar on the stairs. Yep. Kumbaya. No, it was I Gave My Love a Cherry. The Riddle Song or whatever it was called. Yeah. So, anyway, Ilhan Omar said that. I think my family and I should have a prayer session next time I'm on a plane. How do you think it'll end? Well, this means that immediately, because Ilhan Omar lives rent-free in her head, Little Miss Three Names, Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cueball, took to the Twitters and said, "Would that be kind of like when some people did something?" Accusing Ilhan Omar and her family of being terrorists because Muslim. They are exhausting. God knows they are. And then, of course, Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cueball got roasted in her own right. Oh, by the way, this is interesting. She's being challenged. The Democrat who hopes to challenge her for her seat in Congress is a person by the name of Marcus Flowers. And Marcus Flowers has raked in $2.4 million compared to the $1.1 million that Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cueball
has rounded up. Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it just be absolutely lovely to see her just relegated to nothing more than some sort of, I don't know, 3 a.m. slot on Fox Business or something like that? Or, she'll be hired by Real America News. Whatever gets her out of there. Because it just goes on and on and on. Thank you, Paul. Thank you to Paul. Paul jumped in, and we have gotten we've gotten the fundraising goal down by $100. Thank you so much, Paul. That's tremendously helpful. And so, I think we're about okay. So let's say 1330 now. 1330. And Paul got us started. Leah, New York says, how about Jews on a plane? The passengers can get up and the Jews start dancing the Hora, circle dance and singing. How would the Christians feel? Not good. I mean, I remember the story when, I think it was a flight between New York and Tel Aviv. And some hyper-Orthodox, misogynistic dudes were outraged. I tell you, outraged. That they had to sit next to a filthy, filthy, disgusting woman. And they practically rioted on the plane. I mean, really, seriously, with what Lee was talking about, let's say you're flying Dubai Air from... from Jordan to Pakistan. Do Muslims behave this way? You know, I don't think so. Somewhere early in the Quran, it says there is no compulsion in religion. It's not nice to try to force other people to believe the way you believe. So, I mean, let's say you're flying from, Mumbai to London. Do the Hindus get up and start dancing and playing guitar? And 'cause I'm guessing no. Then again, if it was an American airline, again, they'd probably be shot dead in their tracks by the air marshal. Oh, and further good news on Little Miss Three Names. Thank you, Steve. Little Miss Three Names campaign committee, and this story is as of yesterday, it finds itself in the red for the first time. They spent $1.38 million in the first quarter of 2022. They only brought in $1.06 million in donations. Some of the money they spent included security, as well as a retainer paid to Trump's pettifogger and arguably one of the authors of the January 6th insurrection, John Eastman. And say so they are $314,000 in the hole for the quarter. Maybe it's too much to hope for, isn't it? Maybe you think people are wising up. Dream, a girl can dream.
So I'd say this is a pretty compelling slate of morons. God knows they made me feel dumber. Oh, and the shooting rampage that took place in the New York subway last week. Well, it's catnip for somebody like Trump. Nitwit Nero said, with the horrible subway shootings and violent crime in New York, being at an all-time high where people are afraid to walk the streets, the racist and highly partisan Attorney General of New York State, failed gubernatorial candidate Letitia James, should focus her efforts on saving the state of New York and ending its reputation as a crime capital of the world. Instead of spending millions of dollars and utilizing a large portion of her office in going after Donald J. Trump and the Trump Organization for many years, who have probably done more for New York than virtually any other person or group, including employing many wonderful people and paying millions and millions of dollars in taxes, this never-ending witch hunt must stop. We don't need racist political hacks going after good, hard-working people for highly partisan political gain. The people of our country see right through it all and won't take this radical left sickness anymore. Make New York great again. I can't go home. Oh, I added the I can't go home part. So, let's see here. Make sure I've got this right. People were sickened and wounded, killed, because a not okay man opened up with a firearm on a captive group of subway riders and Nitwit Nero managed to make it all about him? Why, yes. Yes. Yes, he did. Because that's what sociopaths do. And maybe someday something resembling justice will find its way to his address. Thank you, Gary. Thank you, Gary. We are now down to 1280. We're 80 bucks away from having, I think it was Monday, fully funded, last Monday. Thank you, Gary. Thank you so much. That's a great start. That's a great start for this, for this late start to the program, but hopefully we've got part of that sorted out. And like I said, I'll work on the White Rose streaming platform this evening. Okay, let's wander over and check in with Scott. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Robin. Happy Monday.
Happy day after Easter, I guess. You know what?
Oh yeah.
2,000 years ago, he was just on walkabout. You know.
Saw his shadow and everything. It was great.
The only thing was he couldn't have any M&Ms.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he kept now come on, somebody.
They kept falling through the holes in his hands.
How many slates did it take? I mean, to get that commercial shot.
They said it was an accident, and that's okay. But Monterey, California.
Yeah,
I love mistakes like this. They said it was an accident. Somebody was going to send this meme to like a member of their family, and they accidentally posted it to the Monterey County Health Department Facebook page.
Oh dear!
On Easter, it was Jesus surrounded by a bunch of people, and in the original painting, you know, he's got his hand held in the air. But somebody photoshopped a red hat into his hand.
Oh, dear.
And the caption reads, "Hey, Judas, you dropped your hat." Yeah.
I don't like those modern-day interpretations of sacred paintings. I mean, I get that. It's just something about Chick-fil-A buckets on the table of the Last Supper. Just sort of kill it for me, you know? It's like, I don't need this. Well, where to begin? Where to begin, Robin? You have served up a mighty crop of goodies on this Moran Monday.
Oh, I can't. Have you seen the video yet for The End of Men?
Well, no, I haven't, but I look forward to seeing it. But see, my thing about Tucker and his demographic and the tanning of the testicles, they're going to, I mean, given the forces of time and gravity, they're going to have to aim the tanning light down and see and ski those knees, boys, because
you're going to... No! Once again, I'll bet there's not another radio show in the country with a reference to see and ski.
Well, descended testicles, my lord, brown and serve those puppies, and if you're not a real man unless you bake your nads, no thank you. I'll stay whatever I am at this point. And wait a minute, there was some confusion about a guitar on a airline disaster movie. Wasn't Helen Reddy in one of the actual airport movies as a nun with a guitar singing to a distraught little girl?
Well, see, I was thinking about that too, but Randy Radar seemed to think that was Airplane.
Well, it was probably parodied in Airplane. I mean, because I remember Barbara Billingsley talking jive at one point, so there had to be a nun.
Do you like movies about gladiators, Billy?
Love them. Bring me my Steve Reeves films. I want to sit here and just watch him glisten, oiled up like he is. Ooh, goodness, give me a shiver. But I don't know.
Don't forget the glowering.
Well, the promo is for a film from Tucker Carlson Productions, and instead of a lion at the opening of the film, what has he got roaring? You know, like a la MGM. I don't want to know. It's almost frightening. You know, a complaining anus? Who knows? Who can possibly know? But where is this to be seen? Is it on? Is it streamable? Because I want to.
Oh yeah, just open your browser and type in "End of Men promo."
All right. Well, no. I mean the show itself. Because if I'm going to watch the promo, I want to see the show. I want to see just how bad he thinks things are.
I don't know if it's coming soon. Well, bad phraseology. I don't know if it's out yet. Well, that doesn't work either. No, I don't know if it's been released.
Well, even there, you're going to run into problems eventually. Because I want to see it all. I'll take one for the team.
Well, you know, nothing gets me hotter than seeing some shirtless dude tugging at the udders of a cow.
Yeah, that's real men. Got to do that. Ay. And I'm sure that's they want to take us back to a time before milking machines. They, you know, a real man's hands need to be grasping with authority those udders to get that milk. And none of this 2% shit. I want the real deal. Give me my high-test moo juice, crazy fuckers.
It reminds me of something that happened a few years ago in the West Virginia legislature, and I know we talked about it on the program. Under the guise of freedom, the Republicans passed a bill to make it legal to produce raw, unpasteurized milk.
Oh, man.
And the Republicans celebrated by toasting each other with raw, unpasteurized milk.
What was the body count?
And then the Republicans spent the rest of the day vomiting their toenails up.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I set them down and explained to them, Monsieur Pasteur is their friend. Pasteurization is a good thing.
Goddamn French cheese-eating surrender monkey.
Oh, these people, Robin, I'm telling you. Well, a couple of things. One of the seat that you're running for is in the West Virginia Assembly or House, whatever they call it. Is that right?
In West Virginia, we are a bicameral legislature. We're bi.
Okay.
And there's a Senate and a House of Delegates.
What is their session like?
And I'm running for a seat in the House of Delegates.
Do they go year round, or are they?
Mercifully. You know, it usually starts late January, early February, and runs up. It's 6 weeks. And then, you know, sometimes there's special sessions.
But it's 6 weeks, and without special sessions, that's it?
That's it.
Oh, wow. That's not bad. That's not a bad deal. Because I know some states are more like the U.S., you know, the federal house. They
just go nonstop.
Yeah. That's, well, okay, 6 weeks isn't too bad. I had that in the back of my head, and I wanted to ask you about it. One other thing while I'm thinking about it, because it is April 18th, and it has been 2 days short of 2 years since we saw a first-run episode of Better Call Saul on AMC. Tonight, season 6 premieres, for all you Better Call Saul fans. And it's going to be a 2-episode premiere night on AMC. So if you're a Better Call Saul person, set that old DVR or VHS or whatever and record them, because it's going to be like six episodes beginning tonight and then Mondays thereafter. And then they'll come back for the final 6 July 11th, I think. And I spent the last couple of days watching all of the episodes thus far in Better Call Saul. Just to be ready, because what with COVID and Bob Odenkirk having a minor heart attack, we have been deprived too long, and tonight our patience will be rewarded.
Yeah, you know, I need to just start at the beginning and watch Better Call Saul.
And you don't have to really watch Breaking Bad to appreciate it, although that adds to it. But it's a worthy follow-up to Breaking Bad. I thought Breaking Bad was stellar television. And I know that you weren't able to watch all of it because it brought up some things that you didn't want brought up. But this is what makes me happy about television, that there's such good TV. Except for whatever that was you watched. Oh, the Bill Maher thing. Yeah. Yeah, I would have to say that I agree with you on that. He used to be pretty good at stand-up, and maybe it was an off night, but I was not impressed. I mean, it was okay. I mean, it was nice to see him, but it just didn't do it for me. I don't know what's wrong with me.
I don't think there's anything wrong with you. It just wasn't funny.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to do a showcase appearance on a stand-up special, you've got to have your A material. There's just no two ways about it. And I'm not sure going to Miami to tape the thing was a good idea, because the audience didn't sound like they were very much with it. You know? Of course, now it could have been the material. I don't know.
Well, I mean, it was the material. Look, how many laughs are there? Are a million people dead from COVID?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
a shit ton of them are in Florida.
Yeah.
And his opening is gooning on people for wearing masks?
Well, now, see, he's been beating that drum on Real Time for a while. The vaccine is not the end-all and be-all. It would be if everybody had availed themselves of the opportunity to get the vaccine and wear the masks back when that was even more important than it is now. But did we do that? Call and response. Did we do that?
Oh, hell no.
Hell no.
Freedom!
No, and it's, you know, I'm not going to stop wearing my mask until every nut in America is fully vaccinated or dead, whichever comes first. I mean, I don't wear it anywhere except in stores or if I'm on the bus. We still have to out here, I guess everywhere that's federally funded transportation, at least until May, I think is what I heard. And they'll look at it again. But I don't want to be on a bus not knowing who's vaccinated and who's not. I mean, I happen to like being upright and above ground. So,
well, I'm in complete agreement with you. And the fact of the matter is, well, I mean, okay, so what is, being personal here, what's your booster status?
I got my first two, and then I got my follow-up booster, and I'm confused in terms of the timeline. Do you have to wait a certain number of months before you can get the second booster?
After your first booster, I think you have to wait 4 months.
Okay, I'm not sure if it's been quite that long, but if not, it's getting close. So,
yeah, well, at the end of this month, or the first day of May, I will be 6 months post on my booster. So I'm eligible now.
Okay.
And I was hoping to get it done this weekend, and somehow I didn't.
Well, you were busy doing other stuff. I mean, there's not just, even during the weekend, you've got stuff to do. Because you're running for office, and that's a not inconsequential thing.
Well, by the way, I just had a note from your neighbor there in Fair San Diego. Masks just lifted on all public transportation.
But they don't make you not wear one, so I'm safe.
Right, they're not forbidden.
There's a lot of craziness in the world, and I don't like it. I do not like it. Well, now, every time I think of you going to get the mail, I think of you going into Sam Drucker's store.
Mr. Douglas?
On Green Acres.
Yeah, I didn't make it to Beckley, and I've got to do that this week.
Okay.
I will let you know.
All right. I'm just aching to get you exposed to something that has made an impact in my life. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Okie doke.
But there was something else I was going to ask you about. I don't know. I can't remember. And what's the deal with the equipment, Robin? Was the worst week in horn history between short shows and equipment problems. That we don't need this.
No, we don't. And you know, the short show thing is going to happen once a month.
Oh, I know. But still.
But no, I guess it came through. Maybe it was some sort of. I don't know. Maybe Steve from Georgia Stan knows.
A Windows update.
Yeah, but it wasn't a regularly scheduled, you know, because that happens on Tuesdays. So this thing must have come through Thursday night, and whatever happened when it restarted itself, I lost my Skype settings. I lost my virtual, and you'll know what I mean by this. I lost my virtual cart deck.
Oh, yeah.
And worst of all, I lost all of my stream interface settings.
Well, see, that's crazy because that, I mean, the very least the Windows people could do, the very least that they could do, and they pride themselves on doing the very least from what I hear, but the very least that they could do is what Apple does. Apple lets you know when there's going to be a system version update or major, like Safari, the browser or whatever. They let you know so that you can do it when it's at a more opportune time. But it doesn't sound like Windows even gives you that option, which is crazy. I mean, because people who are doing business or
whatever.
Well,
yeah, it's kind of my fault because I guess I set it somewhere along the way. I set it for automatic updates so that it doesn't just sit there and pester me.
Ah, okay. Well, now reset that thing then if you can change the configuration, because it's bad enough to miss a show, but I mean, Friday on the Front Porch is, you know, it's one of the highlights of the week to my mind. And I don't need to tell you this, but it's just, we missed you.
It bummed me out.
Yeah, well, I'm sure. I mean, we don't like it when you go away, Robin.
Oh, I was sitting here and it's like, well, me running. Because so all weekend long, it was, you know, tinker with it. What the hell? And I don't, you know, one of the things I do know is that apparently this process, when our buddy Frank basically made this computer happen, this thing was a howling speed demon beast.
Oh, wow.
And I guess with the coming Windows, what, 11? It's, the Brother Deacon Asa tells me what my setup is, won't even run it.
So now you've got a new wrinkle that you got to deal with at some point.
Right.
See, that's... Well, and I've...
And then at some point in time, they will orphan Windows 10.
Yeah, well, they do that. Even Apple does that after a while.
Yeah. My MacBook Pro is an orphan. Because it's 11 years old.
That's crazy. I understand progress, but there are some people that are perfectly happy, or for some other reason, they're not able to upgrade their equipment. And I mean, it used to be that you could get along for quite a while without going and shelling out big bucks or whatever for a new laptop or a new desktop or whatever. And you didn't have the sleekest setup in town, but it worked for you, you know? Well, now we don't even seem to have that option. They want to brick the equipment, and then you have a closet full of gear that just is useless. I mean, you can't even retrieve stuff that's on it after a while. I guess you can pull the hard drive out of it, but... I don't know. But what is this, tech talk all of a sudden? How did I take us down this road?
Well, but what you say is true. And yeah, we're kind of off in the weeds, but in the era in which we live, this isn't tech talk. This is just how our lives go. Because we have to deal with this shit.
I mean, it would be a little different if we weren't already at the mercy of the corporate whims of whichever company we have to deal with, company or large entity. But I mean, can't they leave us a little segment of life where we're not subject to the corporate whims? You know, it maybe I'm a cockeyed optimist here, but it just bothers me. Wait a minute. I've got to turn over. I think I'm done on this side. I've got my.
Are you tanning something?
Oh yeah, I want to get. You know.
You want to be all manly like Tucker Carlson.
I want to be in a video. I want the world to see what a real guy looks like. I want to be Rodin's thinker, sitting, thinking, and dangling all at once.
Dangling.
Dobie Gillis and Maynard G. Krebs standing there. Talking, chatting, amicably. Ay, 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 ay. So, let's see. I've got to start writing this stuff down. There was something else I wanted to run by you. Oh, well, it'll come. If it comes to me, it comes to me. Or I could call you at 3 a.m. when it finally does.
Oh, that's fine. Just,
pop into my noggin.
Yeah, just holler.
By the way, here's what it was.
You know, back way back in the day when iTunes Radio was still a thing and we were on it, people would assume that this program was live at like 3 a.m. somewhere.
Oh, no.
And the phone would ring.
Or then this was the funniest part. People would run across Mark Levin's show thinking it was Mark Levin's. Oh, those were some confused people.
Yes. Oh, I'm sure. And it doesn't take much on their best day to not be confused or to be confused, whichever. Oh, dear, I can imagine.
Yeah, not the sharpest knives in the chandelier.
Well, occasionally, I did this not long ago. I was telling my friend in Tokyo, who I'm trying to get her to listen to the show, because this is a long story, but I'll give you the short version. This is a trans woman in Tokyo who used to call in to Richard C. Hoagland back when I was associated with that program, following Art Bell, back when he came back for a brief encore. Okay, so it's been 6-7 years ago. And anyway, I was out of touch with her for a long time, and recently started Skyping with her to find out if she was okay and stuff like that. But I'm trying to get her to listen to your show because you're a stand-up lady.
Well, thank you.
Speaking on behalf of other stand-up ladies, and there's no need for anybody to sit down. I mean, except for the obvious, but. Well, that's the other. This is what I was going to ask you about. It troubles me that the fundraising is. It's like, is it Sisyphus rolling the rock up the hill?
Yeah, pretty much.
And doesn't even get a bad beer at the top after he's gotten it up there.
Yeah, don't let that thing get away from you. It rolls down in a hurry. Oh, I know.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's how they came up with Rolling Rock beer. I'm telling you, it's absolutely true.
From the glass-lined tanks of old Latrine.
Latrobe. Latrobe. Isn't that where Arnold Palmer was from?
I think so. But I always thought it was funnier from the glass, you know, from the glass-lined tanks of old Latrine.
Well, I know Fireside Theater used to have a bit called Bear Whiz Beer. It's in the water, was the slogan. And it's a... It's a mountain stream, and upstream a little, just almost around the bend.
A herd of bears.
A bunch of bears whizzing in the stream. It's in the water. But seriously, getting back to the fundraising thing, it shouldn't be like beating your head up against the wall for people to support. One of the few outposts where there's rationality going on, there's good information going on, there is some degree of entertainment going on, there's a laugh when we need it, okay, from time to time. And I just sent you a little goodie because I'm behind what you do. That's all I'm saying. And I know that there are others who are behind what you do. And I just... You know, and I don't want to put anybody up against the wall. It should be a free will sort of thing. But you've got to think of the bigger picture. We're coming up in a matter of months, probably one of the most important midterms sessions, elections that we've had, federal, state, and local. There's going to be people running whose election or non-election is going to have a direct impact on your state of being. And well-being. And there's got to be some degree of support getting the word out to people that this shit matters. It's not just an exercise in conversation. Something has to come of the conversation. And part of that is becoming aware. Part of that is becoming a little more educated on what the fuck's going on. But another part of it has to do with people who are out to get you and stopping them whenever and wherever we can. And I don't mean to be like a drummer.
No. You make a good point. And in fact, at the risk of beating a dead horse, that reminds me of another one of the unfunny parts of the Bill Maher thing, namely... He said, because he's such an expert. God, you know, if only the Democrats would listen to Bill Maher.
It's almost like he doesn't know the crazy shit that the Republicans are up to. But then again, it's just shtick. This is, you know, it's so, you know, he makes his money because people like to hear him goon on liberals. Because, you know, of course, he's liberal when it comes to, you know, dope. But, and I guess religion. But at one point in that thing, and if you watched it, you heard it. Julian Castro said he supports the right of a trans woman to have an abortion.
Wait a minute.
That was the line.
I heard the line, but... And that wasn't just a joke?
Well, no, he offered it up as fact. Because stupid, stupid, stupid Democrats are so stupid liberal. They're out of touch. And I heard it, and I have not researched it, so let's be clear. But Julian Castro is a pretty intelligent guy. Yes, and so I would be surprised to hear him say that he supports the right of a trans woman to have an abortion, because obviously, no uterus, no fallopian tubes.
Well, now see, that would
no ovaries, no cervix. No. But that being the case, I took the assertion a little further, and I thought, I wonder if he is being deliberately obtuse, or he just doesn't care enough about the community to actually think about it. Because now here's something that would be rational to say, if you understand the nature of the community. I support the right of a trans man to have an abortion. You know why that makes sense?
Well, a trans man...
Female to male.
Would be a different situation than a trans woman.
Can still get pregnant. Can still need reproductive care. And... I mean, it happens. Trans guys get pregnant. And I know it's a real ha-ha-ha knee slapper, you know, for everybody but the trans guys. Trans guys get raped.
Yeah.
Non-binaries get raped. And so... Well, to say even you support the right of a trans man to get an abortion is only common decency. But, I mean, I need somebody in the Horn ad hoc research department to find out. Because I just simply cannot believe a man of the intelligence of Julian Castro would say, I support the right of a trans woman to have an abortion.
The only thing that I can think of as what happened, if it did happen at all, is if he was saying something about reproductive rights and then segued quickly into the rights, the rights generally speaking, of trans people.
No, I mean, I can't even imagine that. But what it was, because again, long memory, I remember the scene in Life of Brian, where Stan says, because, gosh, you know, it sure was funny with them sitting there in the Roman amphitheater, and Stan, who now wants to be called Loretta, saying, I want to have babies. And of course, John Cleese. And, you know, so much of Python is hilarious, but some of it is just fucking mean when you look back on it. And... racist and xenophobic, classically Britishly racist and xenophobic, as only the British can do. I mean, good God, what was that song? Never Be Mean to an Arab? I Like Chinese?
Yeah, I know.
But there's that same, Stan, where are you going to, where's the fetus going to gestate? Are you going to keep it in the box?
ho, 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 ho. And it's a commentary on revolutionary politics and rules of order and consensus building. Political satire in that sense. Because they then go, all right, even though Stan, Loretta, can't physically have babies, we support his, her right to want to have babies. And of course, the John Cleese character just finds it all so goddamn foolish.
When was Life of Brian made? Was that around
80?
Was it that late?
Yeah.
Well, which one? No, I'm thinking of...
I saw Holy Grail in like 8th grade, and that would have been 77?
Yeah. Okay, yeah, because Holy Grail was first, and then Life of Brian, and then Meaning of Life.
Right.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I the thing to remember, though, is the era that they came from, except for the two pythons that are no longer with us, and I won't do the parrot sketch, but Graham Chapman and the other one, Kerry Jones, I think it is. They're gone. They are no more. They've run down.
They've joined the Bleeding Choir Eternal.
But, you know, they're all up in their, the ones that remain are up in their 70s, and I think Cleese is over 80. I don't know. They're of a generation that kind of material was okay back then. It's certainly not okay now.
Yeah, but, right, and of course, again, kicking down, not punching up.
Yeah.
And, you know, media representation of trans people used to be, it was either drag queens on Sally Jesse Raphael and
Phil Donahue.
Phil Donahue. or it was, you know, what, Silence of the Lambs and that horrible 70s thing with Michael Caine and, of course, the progenitor of it all, Psycho.
Oh, God, yes. What was that Michael Caine movie that Angie Dickinson was in it? Like The Razor's Edge or no? It was a Brian De Palma movie?
Brian, yeah. I think Tracy and I were talking about it last week, but I think I've deliberately blanked it from my memory. You know, it is nice to finally see some human representation.
Well, and that's a good thing. And it behooves people who are either trans people or just folks to stand up when they hear this crap and say, look, communities and segments of our society have enough trouble without you chiming in a non-helpful way, you know?
Right.
And it's almost, if you see something, say something, has got to apply to all situations, I would think, if you're a decent human being.
You would hope.
And it's not necessarily a matter of convincing known enemies or known opponents. It's a matter of fortifying otherwise well-meaning people that you know, the things that you say and the attitudes that you hold have consequences in the real world and affect real people. And I don't think that's being preachy. That's just being a decent person. Or I could be full.
Well, you know, decency is all too often a bridge too far, Scott. And Matt in San Francisco just said, Marr often drops trans humor. He does it at least once a show. To me, it's just being lazy and going for an easy laugh. I don't think he really even thinks about how damaging his words can be. No, it's just a cheap device that he knows will make some of the people in the audience titter. I didn't deliberately use that word, but use that word I did.
A nervous titter ran through the audience. I whipped out my titter pistol and shot it dead. Anyway. Yeah, I get what you're saying. If, and God knows he's got writers. Pardon me, I'm chewing a piece of Nicorette, and I'm just as happy. I feel the buzz coursing through me. And I'm going to look for those pouches next time I'm out, because last time we spoke of this.
Yeah, I think, you know, they'll save you a bunch of money. And frankly, I think the delivery method actually gets it into your system more quickly.
This is all I need.
And since you know, you've been so long quit, you know, for God's sakes, don't get the 8-milligram pouches.
Oh, no. The strongest I get with the gum is 4-milligram, and that's fine for me.
Yeah, the ones that I occasionally still pop are 2. And they suit me just fine.
I really ought to quit the nicotine, but there are so few things that I've got going for me substance-wise at this point. I have 2 martinis a year. I have my coffee every day, you know, so there's that. I quit smoking years ago. Although during the pandemic, there was a time, and I think I said this publicly, if I get the Rona, I'm just going to start smoking again. This was before the vaccine, when people were fucking dying like flies. You know, go down and get me a carton of Keratin 100s, baby, and just puff until I hear the trump of the Lord or something. Jeez. But I'm glad that that temptation passed. I don't need to be smoking again. Jesus. Don't get me started.
Okay, Brother Deacon Asa has finally sorted out the Julian Castro thing.
Okay, good. I want to know what he actually said.
And it is exactly what it's exactly what I suspected. When one is not immersed in this, one can, and I still make mistakes. Not willfully, and certainly not intentionally. He said, and this story is in Politico, it goes back to the Democratic debates of 2020. So that means that Bill Maher was working material from 2 years ago in a stand-up that he taped months ago, a few months ago, tops.
Yeah, see, that's lazy.
Castro said... Annette sent me the video too. I don't believe only in reproductive freedom. I believe in reproductive justice. And you know what that means is that just because a woman, or let's also not forget someone in the trans community, a trans female is poor, doesn't mean they should have the right, shouldn't have the right to exercise that right to choose. And so I absolutely would cover the right to have an abortion. Okay. Let's take this apart. This is Julian Castro not knowing the vocabulary.
Yeah, that's a part of it.
He wasn't suggesting that a post-op or pre-op trans woman has the capability to get pregnant. What he was talking about was actually trans guys. You know, because there are some hashtags out there, hashtag trans women are women, hashtag trans men are men, hashtag non-binaries are valid. So... Nolan D. McCaskill, writing this, holy shit, 3-year-old, June 27th, 2019, Nolan D. McCaskill, writing this for Politico in late June 2019, said, trans females needing access to abortion, biologically speaking, when would that be necessary? It turns out Castro meant the gist of his comment. He just misspoke when he said trans females. So basically... He unintentionally misgendered trans dudes. And Maya Rupert, his spokesperson at the time, said, when we're talking about abortion access and really access to reproductive rights stuff in general, there are a number of people who don't identify as women who still need access to those services. It's trans men. It's non-binary folks. A lot of people. What he was trying to do was say, yes, women do need access to abortion, but it's also important to remember that a lot of times you need a path for trans folks as well. All of which is absolutely true. But it doesn't make a Democrat seem nearly as loopy and stupid and disconnected as it does if you just say, oh, for God's sakes, Julian Castro said trans women need to be able to have an abortion. Ho, 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 I don't care who you are, that there shit's funny.
Well, yeah, and plus, given the timing of when Castro said this and when Marr did the stand-up special, normally there's at least a month lead time between the tape date and the air date, okay?
Right.
That is not considered A stuff to first of all, bring, to put that type of spin on something sincere that a politician was saying who meant well and just misspoke, okay, so there's that. But that's not A material. If you're doing a primetime, highly publicized stand-up special on a major cable pay network, you bring your A game. And that's one of his problems. On a week-to-week basis, with lots of breaks during the course of the year, he's doing better on real time than he had been doing about 6 months ago, okay? But if you're going to do a special and it's highly promoted, you want the people tuning in who are paying for the service to enjoy it, first of all, and to laugh out loud, to even get belly laughs and not be left cold. I mean, if you want that, you can go to Monday night amateur night at the local comedy store, if there are such places still in existence. You might see me, for all I know, doing my little bit for humor. So, yeah, I'm thinking he was way off base with that. And he ought to have Castro on.
I mean, I guess if you really want to, go for a laugh from 3 years ago, Jeremy in Vermont says, let's be frank and honest. 90% of Marr's live studio audience is his staff. That's why they hoot and holler so fucking loud and his transphobic and other phobic jokes go. It's kind of like Emperor Nero. Laugh or die, only on his in his case, sell it or lose your place on my staff. I didn't know that.
No, I don't think that's a real stat, because I forget which studio. He tapes at CBS in Los Angeles, and I've never been there, but as I recall, if I knew what the studio number was, it's a honking big studio, and he'd have to have a honking big staff to fill the place to a 90% point. So check those figures, Jeremy. I'm not saying...
Yeah, I probably devoted too much time to this, but the larger point I was trying to make is that I went back into all of this when you said, you know, Democrats may be deep in the shit come November, because, you know, this is it's the most important election of our lives, because everyone is.
Yeah, literally are.
And we talk about how a couple of weeks ago, I was talking about I'd been watching my Filthy Morning Habit, and Joe Biden's doing a great job, but Why nothing sticks? Why can't he get any traction on the stuff that he's doing that's so good? And nobody's holding a mirror up to these people when they're saying this. You're why.
Well, even PBS NewsHour is doing it, Robin. And the Washington Week. This troubles me. I'm glad you mentioned this, because this troubles me. The mainstream media, and I don't mean to sound like a right-winger here, they're not doing their job, and they haven't done their job properly for years. Yes, I understand that you have to report what the president does and what the president doesn't do. And you've got to do a compare and contrast between the campaigning, what was said then, and what's happening now. But they're leaving out an important part of the equation, and that is there is, even though the House and the Senate are democratically controlled, and the White House is occupied by a Democrat, there is still the, quote, loyal opposition on the other side of the aisle, plus the new wrinkle, relatively new in the grand scheme of things, of right-wing media, who are going to take every goddamned opportunity.
Right, and that's exactly where I was going next.
Well, go there, please.
What used to be the respectable media in this country have been hypnotized by the Fox model.
There you go.
And so, consequently, you know, you've got to, that, where do you think the bullshit dualities came from? The false binaries, the both sides do-itism. That's all born out of the rise of Fox. You know, you've got a fundamentally decent man in Joe Biden, who, if he could do what he needs to do, we would be in far better shape than we are. But he can't because of Republicans. On the other hand, though, if the media simply reports that he is doing a decent job, that a decent man is doing a decent job, they will be savaged as, you know, being just the rankest of tankies. Thank you for teaching me that word, Brother Deacon Asa. That they're just, you know, just shameless apologists for Democrats and liberals, because remember, you got to go back. You've got to have a working understanding of the progress of ideas or the timeline of ideas. Go all the way back to, and it seems like a million years ago now, go all the way back to Bernie Goldberg and his list, people who are ruining America. Remember Bernie Goldberg?
Was he a talker or like a TV or radio?
No, he was a former correspondent for, like, I think CBS.
Oh, CBS, Bernard Goldberg.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
And he created this, you know, liberals ruining America. And, you know, one person, Jim Guy Atkinson, got hold of the book and went and shot up a church as a result of it.
Yeah, god damn, that's been a while, but I remember it now that I'm...
And that, you know, that's when you mean the liberal media, and of course, you know, fat dead Rush Limbaugh, the Pineapple Princess, got all of that crap really, really circulating in the American body politics bloodstream, creating this idea that there was a liberal media that was out to prevent good, great, wonderful, fine, fantastic conservative ideas from competing in the marketplace of ideas. And it's all just counterfactual, fantastic, propagandistic bullshit. But because of all of that, you can't just say, well, you know, Joe Biden's trying his best.
Well, and another thing that they leave out, the media, is, again, compare and contrast. No matter what his faults or his bouquets or booze would consist of, I would rather have Biden in the White House than his opponent. He'd have to be awfully bad to be worse than you know who. I don't even want to say his name.
No, I get it.
You know, so there's that. And there's also the fact that there was a time when this shift began in the mainstream media, like ABC, NBC, and CBS. And that's when when General Electric took charge of NBC, and when Capital Cities took charge of ABC, and when prior to Westinghouse, it was Lawrence Tisch who took charge of CBS. One of the first things all of these entities did, these corporate entities, once they got a hold of the networks, was to close the fucking bureaus overseas. There used to be a time when every principal city on the planet had a news network bureau either in it or near it.
Right.
And when you start lopping off the resources, not just the resources to do the news on a daily basis. But when you look at the correspondents and the writers and the producers who for years made their reputations doing their jobs and doing their jobs damn well, when those resources from A to Z, soup to nuts, when those are lopped off of the news division, the information suffers that comes out of your tube for 22 minutes a night.
Well, yeah, and Randy Radar points out it's also because the networks folded their news divisions into their entertainment divisions.
That too.
And you know, that begins when ABC experienced commercial success with Wide World of Sports, and somebody thought it would be a great idea to put Rune Arledge, who had created that entertainment juggernaut,
mm-hmm.
in charge of the news division.
Yeah. Yeah, and it goes back about the 80s was when these shifts were beginning.
Yes.
And if you change the nature of the entity, that is to say network news, and change it in that radical a basis, that's already bad enough. But like you say, in the mid to late 90s, when the Fox organization was revving up its cable presence, when you have that mindset injected into the stream of conversation, that only serves to make it worse. And again, this is where your long-term institutional and historic memory comes into play. You can't say one way or another what the current situation is unless you have the before picture, like the weight loss ads or whatever. And I don't think I'm wrong there. I mean, and people get on me about dwelling back in the good old days, but the good old days in many respects were much better than they are now, certainly in terms of what you got in the way of usable information.
No, it's decidedly a mixed bag. I mean, I'm certainly not going to launch a joke, but to say that the good old days were better is to sort of not be particularly sensitive to the people for whom they weren't.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, and I know you know. That's why I bring it up. But since you are fond of old clips, this.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat.
And there he goes.
The human drama of athletic competition. This is ABC's Wide World of Sports.
Brought to you by Lincoln Mercury. Nobody has more kinds of cars or more kinds of people. See them at the sign of the cat.
Yeah, wait a minute. What an ad slogan. Brought to you by Lincoln Mercury. Nobody has more kinds of cars.
Well, and they did back then.
Yeah, but we have cars.
Yeah, but they had the Lynx. They had the Continental. They had the... What else was a Lincoln product?
Mercury Marquis. No, that's not the point. we make lots of beer. You know, there's no comment in there about how good it is.
Oh yeah,
yeah. That's but true too. But that's 1974, Scott. And well, Rune Arledge turned it into a juggernaut. A couple other things happened. We've talked about this in the past. I think about it because I happen to be present for it. Baby Jessica down the well.
Oh, God.
That changed everything. That was the birth of the 24-hour news cycle.
Yeah.
And I remember Ed Turner, not Ted, Ed, who ran CNN, sent a network-wide memo after baby Jessica had been rescued, and I kept it until it was in a briefcase that I lost in a move in 1993. And it was praising the entire staff of CNN for the then excellent work that had been done to just cover every aspect of that story. And in the memo, he said, you have changed this business. You've shown what a 24-hour news channel can be. And so then later comes along and, you know, Ted Turner later said that he deeply regrets or deeply regretted and felt like he kind of got had when he sold out to Time Warner, yeah. AOL Time Warner, because they cut his throat. And we see what CNN is now.
Yeah. And that voice on that ABC Wide World of Sports opening, first of all, I used to know the name of the skier that wipes out. I think he was like a Yugoslavian fellow. Somebody can look that up. I don't know if that was on the clip. But Jim McKay, if you ever get a chance, about 15, maybe 20 almost years ago, one of the networks did a documentary about the career and the life and times of Jim McKay. If you can ever find that, if you've never seen it before, that's worthy of your time. There's your broadcaster's broadcaster. And it happened that he gravitated into sports because he was given an opportunity to do everything from barrel jumping to, you know, putt-putt golf, not putt-putt golf, but the demolition derbies. I mean, Wide World of Sports, for those who don't remember it, it was an awfully wide world, and there were some things that were questionable in terms of being a sport. But goddamn it, if it was going on, ABC was there.
Sunday afternoons. Saturdays, it was Sunday afternoons. Sundays,
yeah, to cover it. I remember that show. I mean, and
well, you know, PBS is rerunning Lawrence Welk. Maybe they could buy the rights to run some old Wide World of Sports.
I wish somebody would do that. There's so much stuff that still exists on film or tape or whatever that I would love to see again. I know a lot of it was done once and it went away. Okay. But that, I mean, there's that classic programming still has a life, if only for the historical nature of it. So there, that's my take.
Maybe it was Saturdays. I don't, But the larger point is that it became entertainment, and people realized there was a lot of money in it.
Yeah, well, when news became, and another aspect of that is 60 Minutes was the first news magazine to show that you could make humongous profits in the news division. And when they found this out, when the dirty little secret became well known. Well, it was like Katie barred the door. There was a time when there were half a dozen news magazine shows on TV because it was like monkey see, monkey do, if that's still a valid way to put it. You know, you had your 60 Minutes, and then you had your 2020, and then you had your Dateline NBC, and it was like there was no stopping it. You had your West 57th Street, wasn't that one of them?
And, oh, God, yeah. 48 Hours.
Of 48 hours, just the nonstop, and they are cheap to produce, relatively speaking, cheaper than a sitcom or a drama, okay? And they all come under the corporate news umbrella, so it's in-house money being generated. Somebody ought to write a book about this stuff, because, and that's the pity of it. People today looking at the box don't know what they're missing, because they don't know how it once was. And getting back to this program, there was a time when the conversation included left, right, and center as a natural order, a natural course of things. And now you are hard-pressed to find, you know, like John the Baptist, a voice in the wilderness on this side of the political spectrum. And I'm not going to pound the drum or pass the plate or anything like that. But if you value what goes on here, kick in a few bucks if you will.
And you got us down to 1270. So thank you, Scott.
I think I used to work for a station at 1270. One of my few forays into AM.
I, How did I know?
AM 1270, your entertainment leader.
And it was a right-wing station in Claremore, Oklahoma. I was running the board for the morning guy until the owner, who passed away last September, praise God. I won't say his name, but his first name was Fred. And his last name started with a W, and he lived in Reno. You can look it up. Anyway, he fired me because he didn't want any liberal hands touching his right-wing board. And I only took the job and got the job because a friend of mine who was the afternoon drive talk host knew that I wanted to get back into radio and said, well, come on down. It'll work out fine. Boy, those are famous last words. It did not work out fine or otherwise. But, yeah, I'm just telling you, it's we live in perilous times, people, and we've got to we got to get this thing together because it does matter in everybody's life. And that applies to everybody listening right this moment and to everybody that everybody listening knows. What happens come November? If it's like chopping down a tree, the tree can fall to the left or it can fall to the right. And if it falls to the right, it's going to hit your car and your house and your family, and God knows what else. So be forewarned.
Well, all true. Absolutely
and
true.
You were saying earlier, we were talking about the pythons, and you were talking earlier about finding things to watch, and this is a few years old. There is a multi-part documentary series about the history of Monty Python. And I rewatched it recently, and for whatever faults they may have had, they were some pretty talented lads.
Oh, Lord, yes.
You know, and if you don't know the story of how they came to be, it's on Netflix. And if you just put Monty Python in the search bar, it's like the full story or the truth, and it's listed as Lawyer's Edition. Because apparently there are some outtakes where they said some things that would have gotten them in trouble with the BBC and who knows who else. But they talk about the albums, they talk about the films, they talk about the series. And there's even clips from the live show that they did at the Hollywood Bowl, which I wish I had been around then because I would love to have seen them live.
God, yes.
There's even some expanded clips of the eulogies given at Graham Chapman's funeral service in the church, the memorial service, which are priceless. I'm not going to spoil it. But if you know John Cleese's thing about you bastards,
yes,
that figures prominently in the eulogy, and fittingly so, I might add. God, have I gone on for an hour? I better shut
up. Well, I've been here. I mean, I'm participating too.
Well, I know, but I see that's another thing, Robin, is I don't think that my calls ought to be anywhere near as long as they are.
My fault. I mean, look, the conversation goes where it goes, Scott.
Well, I always feel like there's somebody chomping to get in. And if nobody is, that's fine too. But somebody paid me a compliment the other day that they said they love it when I call because it's like getting into a ride at an amusement park.
Yes.
That's scary, but it's also fun.
Well, okay? it's two old radio hands. You did this work. And so, consequently, you know, you hold up your end of the conversation delightfully. And go wherever it leads.
Well, and it's, and I always have the fear nagging at me that I'm preaching, and I don't mean to be, people. I mean, all I can do is show up and tell you what I have, what I know from personal experience, what I've read, what I've witnessed, what I've seen or learned along the way, and apply it to today's situation. And when I look at today's situation, that's why there's such urgency in my tone from time to time.
You have been on this planet long enough to see the bigger picture.
Yeah, and the risk of the bad way that it can go. And in today's environment, it's harder to extricate ourselves if it does happen to go that way. Because they are opportunists deluxe. When I say they, I mean the right-wing forces and the moneyed people on that end. They are opportunists deluxe. Because when they get an opportunity, they sink their teeth into it like a dog and a rag, a hound and a rag doll, and they don't easily let go. So we can't even let them anywhere near the building, much less the levers of power, because history has shown they will fuck us every way they can.
At every opportunity.
And we pay for the room, and there's no flower, dinners, movie.
See, since Scott, since I, I get ads targeted at me on things like YouTube and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing them now that say, Joe Manchin stopped Joe Biden's wild-eyed Build Back Better agenda. Now he needs to stop it again. And of course, I never see any targeted ads saying Joe Manchin fucked us.
Yeah, and you're not likely to.
Because that is what he did. And I actually had this in the stack for this evening because it's one of those things that just makes me want to eat dirt and run rabbits and drink pee and put onions in my socks.
Good Lord.
Apparently.
You could be a stew. A cannibal would love you to happen along.
Yeah, we hung onions from our belch, which was the fashion of today. CNBC had a story about how Joe Manchin attended a fundraiser put on for him by a billionaire by the name of Nelson Putz, or Peltz. Of course, not here, down in Florida.
Nelson Putz?
Peltz. Sorry. Felcher, Fletcher, whatever.
The L is silent.
The L is silent, yeah. So, and I just can't imagine who would do this, but people coughed up $5,000 a plate to listen to Joe Manchin? Wow. But here's the interesting part. Some of the people who ponied up the aforementioned 5K were actually maggots.
That does not surprise me, Robin.
And they said, gosh, we sure hope Joe Manchin will change parties to Republican because he could challenge Joe Biden. And this shit drives me bananas. I'm not the man. It's a running joke. I'm the Manchin Whisperer, right?
Yeah.
But more dollars than cents, obviously.
I wouldn't lay down $5 a plate, much less $5,000. First of all, I couldn't get in. They wouldn't let me in even if I had the $5,000.
But they think he should change it. Do they not understand where he's from? Republicans here don't want him.
Oh, hell no. He's...
And what's more, he owns the Democratic Party in this state.
Yeah.
He turned it into his own little cult of personality. And that's, it just is what it is. There is no incentive for him to ever change. But you can't, this story will not go away.
Well, and part of the
why would you throw away all your power?
No, anybody who knows anything about the nature of power as it's done within the Beltway knows that he knows that he's got a good thing going. There's no need, pressing or otherwise, to make any changes. And he likes it that way.
Yeah, if he was to change, if he was to, and you know, he said he's going to run again in 2024 for the Democratic nomination for, to be the senior senator from West Virginia, and there's no real news there. But this idea that it, you know, and the CNBC story says that some of the attendees who once supported Trump see him as someone who could successfully run in a Republican primary and then possibly defeat Biden. I wonder what color the sky is on their planet.
Don't know. And this was in a mailer?
This was CNBC reporting. But, you know, he went all the way down to Florida to scrape up some cold, hard cash.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's like, really? They think he's presidential timber? Wow. I don't think they've ever actually paid attention to it.
Not in my book. But you inadvertently reminded me of that third thing that I couldn't remember when you said mailer. And I know that you were busy wrestling with your equipment over the weekend. But maybe you had a chance. Did you get that email I sent you with the Richard Viguerie stuff?
Oh, yeah.
That interview is well worth your time. It's an NPR Fresh Air interview with him from 2004. And then a later written piece by somebody, and the name escapes me, about, for folks who don't know what I'm talking about. And what keyed me for it was you said you got something from Maryfield, Virginia. And that's in Fairfax County, and there's a big postal facility. And Richard Viguerie, who for over 50 years has been the right-wing direct mail king for conservative causes, not just politics as such, but political, like anti-choice and any number of sleazy operations, he would do the mass mailings for. And what I sent Robin was an NPR interview with me.
Yeah, it was fascinating.
But the technique, they have been at it for a long time, and they've got it down to a science.
Yeah, like 1968.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, he got started with Goldwater. That was 64.
Four, right.
But the thing is, they send out these tons, metric tons of mail, these mass mailings to these people who are, who lean that way anyway. They lean right, and it just reinforces the message. And it's like whack-a-mole. You've got right-wing talk radio, then you've got right-wing cable news, and then you've got right-wing publishing industry, and then you've got right-wing mass mailings from this nitwit. And it's like no matter where you turn, the opposition, who ought to be smarter than this, you know, the folks out there receiving the mail and receiving the TV signals and receiving the radio signals and, you know, the rest of it, they ought to know better what they're doing. They're shooting themselves into their own foot, and they're paying for the gun and the bullet, okay? They're Barney Fifing that thing to a fare thee well, all right? And it's just what we are up against come November and into the future, as far as you can see, is an orchestrated effort on the part of very moneyed and powerful people to fuck us up. And we can't let it happen, is what I'm saying. And I ought to find a way to send that to more than just you and let people read up on what the hell's going on. Because a lot of people don't know what the hell's going on.
No.
Deep down and spread out.
No, they don't. And by the way, Kevin up in Mass wrote a little bit ago. Mainstream media is lazy. The corporatism. We need a new fairness doctrine. I know. Good luck with that. Rush got big in 90. Then I remember the movie Falling Down with Michael Douglas after that. Then the PC movement mushroomed and rightly or wrongly validated Limbaugh et al. Then in 1994, Newt Gingrich blew it all up. Haven't been the same since. Kind of a weird timeline, but off the top of my head. And by the way, Jim McKay was unbelievable during the Munich Olympics in 1972, relaying the story of the hostage-taking of the Israeli Olympic team. And every, you know, yes, that was his great. I mean, that was when you knew that he was a journalist.
And do you know why?
Why?
And you said the key word. Long before Rune Arledge and ABC Wide World of Sports came along, the man was a working journalist. He worked at the Baltimore Sun, a once great newspaper. He worked for a TV outlet, a network-affiliated TV outlet, WMAR in Baltimore. And he paid his dues and he learned his craft. And he was a sports fan, but he was more than that. That's one of the problems with people on the air today. They are not, as they once were, well-rounded individuals. They have their particular slice of the expertise pie, and that's all they bring to the conversation or the endeavor. And we suffer for it.
I think back to Charles Girault.
Oh, God, yeah.
And back during Bush War I, Richard Blystone. Remember him?
Oh, where do I know that name?
Well, he was at CNN at the time when we, and they had him in the Jerusalem Bureau.
Okay. All right.
And he was this moment was absolutely iconic. When Bernie Shaw was shitting his pants under a table, Richard Blystone
was under a bed.
Something like that. But Richard Blystone was standing on a roof in Tel Aviv, I think.
Yeah.
And there were sirens going off all around him. No helmet, no flak jacket. And, you know, Wolf Blitzer, back in the studio in D.C. or New York or wherever, said, Richard, we're worried about you. We really wish you'd put on your helmet and your flak jacket. And Richard Blystone, who was, you know, he would definitely not have been appearing in, Tucky Carlson's new documentary. kind of a portly fella, and you figured that, you know, being a hardworking journalist, he'd probably pounded back his fair share of ice-cold fermented malt beverages. And he looked into the camera, and I presumably, you know, he's got Wolf in his IFB, and he said, "Well, Wolf, you know, the way I see it, if one of Saddam's scuds has my name on it, then that's just my tough luck. I'll be fine."
That's the Murrow approach to war reporting. Edward R. Murrow on the rooftops of London, for fuck's sake.
Well, that may have been what he was channeling, come to think of it.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was, Robin. And I'll tell you something. A more recent quote journalist, Brian Williams, is no Richard Blystone, and he's certainly no Edward R. Murrow. And I don't know what he's doing now, but I'm glad he's off of my TV. Okay?
No. What do you think of his replacement? Stephanie.
Stephanie Ruhle?
Yeah.
I haven't seen her enough to say one way or another. Is she any good? I don't know.
Yeah, she was good when she followed Joe and Mika in the 9 a.m. slot. I haven't seen the 11th hour.
Well, somebody was saying that they're going to bring back Olbermann.
No. That you and I were talking. No, Olbermann was in conversations. He claims to get the you know, when she bailed, to get the Rachel slot, but he claimed that she personally kiboshed it. How much truth there is in that, I don't know.
Well, she really cared about the viewers and the job. And I don't want to tell her what to do, but just as a viewer, and I've been down this path before, if you're going to do the 6 p.m. Pacific time slot on MSNBC, do it. Even if it's only four nights a week, even if it's one of those cushy Lawrence O'Donnell gigs where you get Friday off, do it. But don't give me one night a week and call it done. I mean,
Well, that's the Carson approach.
Well, no, Carson took Mondays off. He took Mondays off. There was a best of Carson on Tuesday, and he did at least Carson did a 3-day week. You know, it just boggles my mind that they would actually go for this. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. Nothing to apologize for. I think these little moments where we actually demonstrate the scope and flow of history are important. And I found an article earlier today out of the Daily Beast by Scott Bixby that speaks to the same sort of thing. What Scott Bixby was writing about is that there are people who were in the trenches of the gay rights movement, and particularly the movement for marriage equality. And it's, like I said, it's the same thing I've been saying. You know, the current manifestation against, like, trans kids is just a rehashing of what they've done before, these right-wing animals. Referred to in the article as social conservatives. And an individual by the name of Evan Wolfson, a lawyer and an activist who founded Freedom to Marry, that was out in front of the marriage equality movement, said, "These are old networks and opponents, but I don't think they're reawakening. They never went away." And that's important to note, because they've just repackaged the same old hate. You know, nationwide, the support for marriage equality is now north of 70%. And everything that these right-wing assholes predicted would come to pass, and you remember some of them, speaking of the broad and grand sweep of history, old bro-fromix, Rick Sanctum Santorum, the fetus fondler, it was one of those, "Well, you know, if you let the gays get married, it'll destroy traditional marriage between one man and one woman." Well, it pretty obviously hasn't. But that doesn't stop them from saying it. And it doesn't stop them from repackaging their old hate into something that looks like new hate. They've found a different target, because perhaps they think that they can get away with it this time because their victims don't have the economic power that was brought to bear against them in the struggle for marriage equality. But they haven't given up on that either, Scott.
Oh, hell no.
They've got a 5-4 majority in the Supreme Court, and if they can get something in front of the court that would give them give those wild-eyed Federalist Society maniacs a chance to overturn Obergefell, you're goddamn right they'd do it.
Of course. And it's
in a heartbeat.
Some time ago I mentioned this, but it's worth repeating. There was a movie featuring the Marx Brothers called Horse Feathers, I believe, about the life at college with Groucho as the president of the college. And there's a song in the movie, Horse Feathers.
"Whatever you're for,
I'm against it.
I'm against it." Right.
And this is where for years, somebody mentioned Newt Gingrich, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, that was Kevin. You know,
further back than him, they have to be grabbed and taken kicking and screaming into reality and decency. They won't go willingly. They will never go willingly. And all ground is all turf is turf to be fought over. And you can, it's to the point where you just cannot let your guard down, because they're always after somebody, and they're using recycled stuff that was bullshit back then when it was brand spanking new. And this is why we ever vigilant. I can't say it in Latin, but it probably sounds nicer in the original Latin. Ever vigilant is what we must be. And to fail to be that is doing so at our own peril. And if you don't believe me, you know, fuck around and find out.
Oh, yeah. And see, there's a quote in this story from Melanie Willingham Jaggers. She's the executive director of Gleason, the gay and lesbian something network. Sorry, I used to know. But she said, it's no coincidence that the anti-LGBTQ plus bills like Don't Say Gay measures we're seeing in states from Florida to Ohio are so similar. Many attacks we're seeing across states are nearly identical because they are copycat bills stemming from the same source, a well-funded anti-LGBTQ plus extremist movement.
Mm-hmm.
And the latest salvo in that, and this just sickens me, down in the home of American sedition, South Carolina, Stan, last Thursday, they introduced a bill, and it makes me weep for the kids, because this thing's got every chance in the world of passing. A sponsor named Senator Kimbrell introduced a bill that would force trans kids who are already on puberty blockers to detransition and go creeping and crawling back into the closet where they would die. These really are these Republicans really are homicidal.
Yeah, and
I mean,
and
can you imagine what it must be to be a trans kid on puberty blockers in South Carolina? The terror you would feel that some goddamn Republican would force you to live out a life that is absolutely wrong for you?
Well, it's hatefulness is what it is. It's organized hatefulness. And it's wrong. I mean, I don't. There are any number of things that people are working for, that I'm in favor of, that if they are successful, won't affect me one way or another, other than being on the right side of whatever the issue is. But this is part of being a progressive person or a liberal person. And that is to look at the big picture, and really it's almost an actual Christian mindset, even though I'm not an actual Christian. It's doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. And they've the right side of, and by right I mean politically right, because they're certainly not correct, the right side of the aisle even enlists theology to twist it into their hatefulness. And if people don't see this and act accordingly in response to what they've seen and heard, and the future is going to be bleak in ways that you could never imagine. You can't get your head around it. If these folks have their way, our work is cut out for us. And again, part of this work is this program, a lonely outpost for reality-based radio. I mean,
Oh, and the thing is, these outfits are so well funded. I just opened one, and it's just I'm going to sit here and read the damn thing, and I'll be sick at my stomach by the time I'm done. Up to 98% of children who struggle with their sex as a boy or a girl come to accept their sex by adulthood. And I guess I'm just part of that 2% that didn't.
And see, it's resources and human energy being channeled in the most insidious way possible, destructive, insidious, hateful. Imagine, if you will, what sort of world we would have And I'm not saying everybody needs to sing Kumbaya and agree on everything. I'm saying that if these energies and resources were channeled in a positive, appropriate way to make the world work in a manner consistent with it working out well for everybody concerned. But where's the fun in that? That's sort of the approach that these people take. Where is the power in that? Where is the fun in that? Where is the opportunity to be right, in air quotes, right as in correct? And these fuckers are out to get us. And if you're within the sound of either my voice or Robin's voice, you've got to be. I almost feel like breaking into which side are you on? Which side are you on? Because the situation should be readily apparent to everybody with a pulse and a couple of brain cells to bang together. And I'm telling you, don't let it go that other way. Do not let it go that other way. Do not let it go that other way.
Yeah, I know.
It's, and you don't need me to tell you, but I'm just reminding people who maybe think that, well, you know, this is a midterm and, you know, what can happen? Well, we've been describing, and this program will continue to describe what can happen. And if that doesn't give you the
turtle squirts,
tighten your sphincter, I don't know what will. Sorry, folks, having dinner. I didn't mean to go that way, but I'm telling you.
Yeah. Well, we've done it again.
And you'll miss me while I'm gone, you rascal, you. Let me just close with that. Well, and I didn't mean to.
These are all fine conversations, and I know people enjoy them, and I'm glad you're willing to participate in them. But you're absolutely right.
One last plug, because I know you got to go. AMC tonight, 9 o'clock your time, 2 hours of the first part of season 6 of Better Call Saul. Be there.
Absolutely. Scott, you take care.
Robin, you take care. No, you take care.
You take care first. If you get there first, you make a mark. If I get there first, I'll rub it out.
It's a deal. Take care, Robin.
See
you,
Scott.
Warren family.
Bye. This conversation went all over the place and did so wonderfully. So thanks, everybody. Thank God we got a program in. I hope to have the White Rose stream up and running tomorrow as well. Computer problems. Bane of my existence. We'll be okay. So thanks to all of you who jumped in this evening. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Gary. Thank you, Scott. Let's see. Tomorrow, where will we be? 1570. And hopefully we'll knock it down slowly but surely. Thank you to our PayPal subscribers, our Patreon subscribers, our a la carte contributors. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you so much. To Steve from Georgistan, pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator, and all-around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan, for moderating this evening. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, brand new fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is, of course, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and now a happily union shop. Please reach out to your member of the House of Representatives. Time is ticking on this waning Congress. Ask your member of the House to please co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, the AHCE Act. It means the world to Appalachia. Please stay safe. Get that second booster. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Don't let people like Bill Maher bully you away from taking care of yourself and wearing your mask in places where the maskless may be wandering free. Use your hand sanitizer, maintain your social distance. And, you know, for God's sakes, if somebody comes toward you complaining about the end of men, avoid that Tuckio Rose like the plague, because he is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.